Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Love Japanese pro wrestling? Want coverage of the entire scene? Men's and women's promotions from New Japan to Stardom, NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Marigold, and more? Then Wrestling Omakase is the podcast for you. Hosted by a 23-year Puro Watching veteran, that's me, John Carroll, and a rotating cast of co-hosts, we bring you a passionate, knowledgeable look at the wide world of Japanese wrestling. Wrestling Omakase is right here on the Voices of Wrestling Network. Check us out on any podcast app or feed today.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel, joined by Damon McDonald. It is Wednesday, the 2nd of July, 2025. This is episode 368. Let's see some correspondence, Damon. I got a really thought-provoking and quite challenging correspondence from what I assume is a listener, which I was sort of initially going to hand with, but then the more I thought about it, it was very perceptive and was really sort of challenged a lot of my biases and a lot of the way that I perceive not just New Japan, but the world around me.
Wow.
So I'll be curious to see if this is something that is as thought-provoking for you as it was for me.
Can I guess what it was?
So this is
It was probably like, let me Damon and Joel. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, you've ruined the bit, Damon. Rough8586 says, "Lol, Christ, you're gay. That shit sucks, retard." And he makes a good point, Damon, because I don't really have a counter-argument for that.
Yeah,
on many levels, he's correct.
Yeah, you know. Listen, I got to pay the rent somehow, right? So I'll take the gay part. Everything else, probably valid as well. So
nailed on, yeah.
Right?
No comebacks.
What was the exact quote? What was it?
It was, "Lol, Christ, you're gay. That shit sucks, retard."
Okay, retards too. Wow, checking all the boxes.
Clearly someone who's listened to all 367 episodes and right, has got us down to a T. So
he's been there from the beginning. Yep. Can I ask, was that via the Twitter machine or was that somewhere else?
It was via Twitter, and shocking. Funnily enough, I had to do a lot of clicking to actually reveal that one, because they tried to hide it from me, the Twitter algorithm. So it came up as So I have to click show probable spam, and that made one of the football questions come up. And then there's another one that says show additional replies, including those that may contain offensive content. And wow. Of course, you know me, Dave, and that's a clarion call to someone like me. So hit the show button, still didn't show the message. It then came up with another warning message below that one, which came below the probable spam message. So now there's a warning message over it saying visibility limited, this post may violate X's rules against hateful conduct. So at this point I'm rubbing my hands together, I'm like salivating at the mouth. I cannot wait to see what this person has to say to us. So I clicked view and it did not disappoint. Love it.
Wow. I mean, do people, and again, I have no idea, so please excuse my dumb fucking old man question here, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So obviously people don't have to follow your account to comment, correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. So this person, I'm going to guess, doesn't follow us, correct?
Well, not yet, but I think I can win him rounds.
There you go. All right, fantastic.
We're looking at his profile description. It says, ANCAP, hater of commies, leftists, and all things degenerate. I think there's something I can work with here.
Okay. I mean, you know, commies aren't that bad, are they? I mean, they mean well. I just find it amazing that people would take the time to, like, fire off a comment. I don't know. How do you find us? How do you even know who we are? Why would you care?
I appreciate the engagement, to be honest. I miss the days when people were sending us hate mail and insulting us left, right, and center. Now it's just apathy. Now nobody cares.
I know. Now it's just like $10 Patreon. Boom-ching, ka-ching. That's not fun.
Excellent content on there. Me and John Carroll talking about the Death Pain Invitational and some stardom stuff. So get your fucking wallets out and get involved.
Yeah, and you get like great audio from our moaning for 45 minutes about our title change, and that was pretty fun. It's
kind of live, sort of instant reaction to everything that happened over the weekend.
Yeah, because we didn't even see it at the time. And then there's the vault, as we call it, has a lot of nice stuff there. So yeah, I think it's well worth the $10 a month. That's pretty good. I mean, it's a good value.
It's so cheap. It's too cheap, if anything. I'm thinking of increasing it because...
Really?
I mean, what's the exchange rate? Like, in the UK, that will be about the same price as like a Tesco meal deal. And they're shit. So it's way better than that. It's nothing. I can't... There's probably people listening to this who haven't signed up yet. And that, honestly, that makes me sick to my stomach. Fucking freeloaders.
Yeah.
Probably people who've been sitting there listening to all 367 free episodes of this. And are not willing to throw anything my way. And that.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, though, Joe. The effort's going on over there. I mean, here it's. I mean, you're getting me after work. You're getting, you after a long day.
The best ability is availability. And that is the same success criteria that I hold to myself professionally. And I say without a shred of irony to my bosses at work that the most important thing that I can do is turn up every day. And if I turn up every day, that's most of the battles won. I think that applies for this podcast as well.
1,000%. And it's like, I'll be in the middle of the day and I'll be like, all right, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to get this report done. I got to do this. And then it's like, fuck, I got to do a show today. But then when I do it, I feel good. You know what I mean? I got to, you wake up in the morning, you're like, I don't want to get out of bed. I like it right here. I like it right here.
Yeah, the idea of having to do something that is not, your immediate daily routine, having to do something different. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, just fucking put a bullet in my brain. I don't want to do this thing that I'm supposed to be doing.
I know.
Even if it's something nice, like, oh, we're going to go and meet some friends for lunch. I'm just like, Lord, strike me down now.
Joel's already dreading the end of July. He's like, this fucking guy and his wife is coming to my house. Oh, are you kidding me? Jesus. You mean I actually have to sweep up around here? God damn it. I know it. Oh,
you think I'm sweeping up for you? Well, I hope you like spiders. There's a lot of them here.
I hope you like stinking farts because... that fresh country air is going to be ruined. No, I'm kidding, of course. But yes, I am that way. Like, I had to, there was something the other weekend I had to go do. And I'm like, just like, I just want to stay in the house. I don't want to do this. I don't want to drive into the city. I don't want to have dinner with people that I kind of enjoy. I don't want to do it. Oh, God. Commitment stinks.
I'm an unwilling participant in society. I did not sign up for this.
I am absolutely not. And then I was moaning to Joel earlier about my fucking driveway, my walkway. I got to get it all repaired because it's falling apart. It's due, but now it's like really due. I'm just afraid somebody's going to fall and like twist our ankle, and then we get sued, and then we got to pay for the fucking repairs anyway. This past week, I felt like everyone has their hand in my wallet. Everyone. Like, I went to the dentist. Talk about boring stories. I went to the dentist.
Oh, God.
And I'm telling you, do you ever go to the, when you see, you don't get this. This is where you get it right. All of our fucking medical is for profit. So you go there and it's like, listen, yeah, I'm having a little temperature sensitivity up here. Bubba, can you check it out? Yep, no problem. Hey, we also notice that you're constantly upsold. Hey, you have a little plaque buildup in the back molar. We can get that for another $1,000 and we could do it. I'm like, all right. Like, how do you say no to that? It's like saying no to your kid has some fucking thing wrong with them. And like, it's going to cost you about $2,000. Like, what are you going to say? No, let them walk with a limp or something. You know what I mean? Like it's just fucked up. And it's like, I was just looking at him like, can we just do this? Can we? Oh, and I pay insurance. I have insurance, Joel, but we have deductibles. All the money that I put into this fucking insurance every fucking 2 weeks out of my paycheck. And I still have to pay like $800. I forget it. Why do I care? And then they got scolded for spending too much money. And I was like, listen, not for nothing, dear. Seems like I'm seeing a lot of South Korean entertainers in the next month. Not my choice.
Is she a fan of Squid Game?
You know what? You're the second person who's asked me that in 2 days. I don't. I mean, I think she's probably have seen YouTube clips, but no, nothing religious. I will tell you what I have been watching, though. Well, you want to do your Squid Games thing? Not to cut you off.
It's rubbish. I don't like the new series. Spoiler alert, there's a baby in it. As soon as the baby was introduced, it's all gone downhill. There's a baby in it, and I don't like the baby, and there's a boat, and the boat's boring. So the boat and the baby, no good. What are you watching?
I thought it was a game show. Isn't it a game show?
Yeah, it's supposed to be, but there's a baby in it and a boat in it, and neither of those.
Why is there a baby in it?
Good.
I don't understand. Why is there a baby?
I'm watching the wrong program.
I don't think you're watching Squid Game.
I don't want to spoil it, Damon. If I elaborate, then it's going to ruin it. But to be honest, if you are sitting there thinking like, not for you, I don't respect your opinion, but I'm thinking about the listeners, Damon. So I don't care about ruining something for you. Right, so there might be people listening who are thinking of watching it. If you are, don't. I've just saved you 6 hours of your life.
Yeah, there's a baby in it, people. I think you're watching Sophie's Choice. No? No, maybe you're wrong. Is that not it?
That's probably where they got some of their ideas from. But yeah, what have you been watching?
And you're going to laugh because you're like, welcome to fucking 2011. Are you familiar with a show called Peaky Blinders? Is it?
Yes. Yeah. I binge watched all of Peaky Blinders shortly after Esther was born. It was one of those things I needed just something to consume in the background while I was doing baby things.
I've watched 4 episodes and I have enjoyed it. Yes, I have enjoyed it. And only because it's like, it's every, like I get like random clips and I'm like, what the fuck is this show? It's like, I guess it was the guy's wedding. And he's like, no fighting, no cocaine, no fighting. And I just thought it was a funny clip. And then I didn't know what it was from, nor did I give it another thought. But then I got more clips and more
backstage at AW Dynamite, no?
Yeah, that's actually really funny. That is good. why was that the funniest thing I've heard today? Because it was. No, but then, yeah, I'm into it. I'm into it. I'm at where am I at? I'm at again episode 4. So they just bought the pub. The barmaid is in with the police. All that stuff. Yeah, that's where I'm at. Okay, good. Nobody gives a fuck. It's like we've seen that show 20 years ago, dude. But yeah, I get it. All right, wrestling, pro wrestling, yeah. New Japan.
Yeah, that would cheer us up. Yeah, let's talk about some pro wrestling. So yeah, as we said, there is a kind of sort of instant reaction where we talked about the surprising things that happen at Tanahashi Jam. We've had a chance to actually go away and watch the show and think about things and let things digest and ruminate and come to some more reasoned discourse as we reapproach the matter. So let's just get straight into it then and talk about Tanahashi Jam. So this is from Aichi Dolphins Arena, 4,570 in attendance. Should we start for the main event and go down?
Yeah, I think that's
well, they've not listed all the matches here, actually. We're missing a match, but the main event was Naomi Shimura Fuji and Hiroshi Tanahashi defeating Yohei Oiwa and Kaito Kiyomiya. Tanahashi pinned Oiwa after 90 minutes and 10 seconds from High Fly Flow. Well, I'll come to that. I'll circle back to that one a bit later on. But
the show is the main event. But yeah.
I think that's okay. Like Marufuji's good. Kiyomiya's good. You know, it's nice to see some actual stars, aces from the companies. But yeah, it's fine. It's good. Feel good, fun tag match. I mean, feel good for everyone apart from Yohei Oiwa and anyone who values his future as a pro wrestler. But yeah, it's good. It's good stuff.
Come on, G1's right around the corner now. How dare you? He's watch him lose.
He'll get his win back. He'll get his win back. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I know. I like the match a lot in the sense of... look, again, I don't think this is a wild hot take, but a lot of these guys are well past their prime. But even that being said, they're still more than capable of having a really fun, entertaining, and dare I say, hard-hitting pro wrestling match.
They did hit each other quite hard in this.
They do. I liked it. I thought it was very good. And especially coming off of the wackiness that was previous, I don't know. And it's kind of weird to say that it was a cleansing of the palate, but it did make me appreciate pro wrestling a little bit more. Just in the sense of, all right, you know, let's just fucking turn off our brain and watch some pro wrestling. And it delivered. I thought it hit. So,
do you think it should have been the main event?
I mean. It was weird in the sense of, well, I mean, in one hand, yes, it should have been because, like I said, the goddamn show is named after him. And as much as I want to bitch and moan about the fact that our world title isn't the main event, okay, great. I don't know if the tickets that were sold for this particular event or the TV ratings or having the availability of it on broadcast television had anything to do with Zach or Goto. So I think in hindsight, it's more understandable, I guess.
And before that, we had the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match where Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Hiroki Goto in 28 minutes and 14 seconds by a referee stoppage. So we've got a new champion, Damon. We talked at length in our Patreon show about our feelings and some of our issues with this from a booking standpoint. Where do you stand on it now? Have you changed your tune on it now you've had a chance to actually watch it? Or
I mean, the match was good. Was really good. Match was fucking great, right? Was
fucking great. Which made me even more cross. I was sitting there watching it and I really wanted it to be bad. And I heard people say, oh no, it's really good. And I was like, yeah, my ass it is. And like grumpy Pingu. And I'm sitting there watching it and then I'm like, fuck, it's good. Oh no, it's really good. Oh Christ, it's a fucking match of the year. Match of the year caliber match. I was really angry. I was just fuming that, oh, why is it so good?
Yeah. I saw that and I know we had the ref stoppage. I also saw that Goto has been pulled from other events later on due to injury. Now they're saying it was, you know, occurred during this particular match, but again, I'll just throw out a little thing to chew on. You know, maybe he was hurt. Maybe he re-aggravated it there. Maybe he was already hurt and he went into this match and said, fuck it, I got to drop this belt and, you know, take the time off that I need to heal up. But one, if he was working injured, God bless him, because he looked good. And two, if he did injure himself during this match, then, you know, he worked his fucking ass off for us. And this whole run has been really enjoyable. So, you know, for all the questioning that we had of why and when and to whom and all of the questions that, quite honestly, I still have. I can't sit here and tell you that I don't have them. Maybe, you know, injury had played maybe a little bit more of a larger role in this. I don't know. But Hirooki Goto, what a fucking pleasure he and joy that he gave us for these past couple of months. Seriously, I mean, without question, a wrestler of the year candidate. And if he doesn't win, if he doesn't fucking show up in a lot of our year end awards, I don't know what we're doing, because he delivered when he didn't have to, and we could say that for many years. So, tip of the cap, if you will.
Yeah, the match was outstanding. Really, yeah. Really fantastic. And their first one was very, very good. This one somehow was even better. Their chemistry and the way their contrasting styles play off of each other, I found just absolutely gripping. The way Zach is sort of trying to stifle him with the grappling and the chaining, the submission moves, and then Goto's using his power and his striking to fight that off, and that increasing sense of desperation. And it all turned, I don't know if this was the moment where an injury was exacerbated, but the bit when he kind of propped his arm up and then stamped on it, and he does that spot a lot, but this time he really went in for it, Zach. And it looked like he got some solid contact and smashed Goto's elbow into the mat. And it looked amazing. And I don't know if that was exactly how he planned it, and that was a perfectly safe thing to do in pro wrestling, but it looked pretty gnarly. And then the way Goto was selling it afterwards, like not even able to run the ropes because he was in so much pain, that was brilliant. And just the dynamics were perfect, because it made Goto feel like an underdog. He was selling it like an underdog because he was in so much pain. And then Zach just gradually taking control and dominating and showing more of a heelish edge. And I think something that he really ought to have been leaning into sooner. And it's caused me to kind of reevaluate his first run and thinking he should have been working like that the whole time. You know, especially winning the title off of Naito, and knowing what we know about Naito's knees and joints and that should have been the story of that match. And I think that would have been a lot more dramatic than, oh, he's got the Zach driver out of nowhere, whatever. So I think Zach is guilty sometimes of everything being a bit tongue-in-cheek. It's all a bit nudge-nudge, wink-wink, self-referential, crowbarring in gags to 90s UK pop culture and TV comedy series, which pops me personally. I like that, but is it necessarily the best thing to come across as an authentic and compelling pro wrestling character? I'm not sure that it is. So if I have a wish for his second reign now, is I would like him to be a bit more serious and maybe not heelish, but just a bit more ruthless, because I think this match was proof of concept of that if he does come across as just this with this calculated surgical precision that he's going to go after injured body parts and just ruthlessly exploit that, I think that will be really, really dynamic and really compelling. So yeah, I thought the match was excellent. The crowd really into it, like really hot crowds. And from what I understand, the people I've spoken to, it was always the plan for Zach to drop the title to Goto and then to win it back. So yeah, don't you know, I don't think they called an audible here. I think Dave Meltzer said something like they had earmarked this particular show to be the title change for a while back. So, you know, we discussed before about whether that was a wise idea, considering that everyone outside of Japan was not able to watch it. And I asked around about that, and it's the answer I got was there's the possibility that the live viewership was a lot higher than normal since it was a live TV broadcast, not streamed on New Japan World. So even though it wasn't like a terrestrial channel or one of the sort of main free channels that most people would get, there was still the potential for a lot more eyeballs on it than the normal New Japan World broadcast. And, you know, I still think it's a bit silly to present yourself as a, you know, an international product and try and appeal to foreigners, but then have something like this that foreign people can't watch. I think that was a bit daft and unnecessary, but I'm not going to, you know, go too nuts over that, because at the end of the day, it's New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's a Japanese product for Japanese people. You know, that's the core fan base by and large. And from what I heard last year, I forget which show it was, but there was some show that had a similar thing, but it was streamed on World for people outside of Japan. And apparently a lot of Japanese fans got annoyed with that and thought, why do people outside of Japan have live access to it for free or something like that? So, you know, maybe there was a bit of TV politics involved, or maybe it was sort of something trying to sort of throw a bone to the domestic fans and say, hey, look, we are putting you first and we do care about you. And here you go. There's a treat for you. So yeah, it's certainly a controversial decision, but yeah, I can understand that. You know, I'm not as incredulous about it as I was before, but whilst I can, in a vacuum, praise those things, and I do very much agree with you, what you said, and I'm not going to argue against any of it on a micro level, because there's plenty of arguments to justify. I think, agree, Goto and Zach have both been excellent performers. They've improved. They've stepped up. They've stepped up to Wrestler of the Year level. We all loved it when Zach won the title. That was a great moment. We all enjoyed the Goto win at New Beginning. We've rightly praised his title reign, which has been really enjoyable. You know, we were talking about, are they going to be able to cut bait on it at the right moment to maximize it and transition and use that goodwill and that heat for something more effective, for something with an iron, like long-term development. And we're speculating, who's it going to be? Is it going to be one of the young guys to dethrone him? Is it going to be Evil to dethrone him? But then it going back to Zach. Yeah, I think that's where I have the problem here, because like I said, in a vacuum, you can make the case for Zach losing to Goto and then winning it back. That on its own is not, it's not the most egregious piece of booking. And let's be honest here, I'm sure that being like that as an offer, you're going to win the world title, you're going to beat win the G1, win the world title from Naito at King of Pro Wrestling, defend it in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom, you lose it to Goto, but then you win it back again. I'm sure that offer being on the table was very tempting for Zach when it came to contract negotiation time, but it does still leave this ongoing problem that I've been talking about for a while of failing to make new stars, because the top end stuff, your IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, your G1 Climax winner, Wrestle Kingdom main event winner, this has all been lateral moves post Okada. And we've got to be perfectly honest here about the lay of the land of New Japan in 2025. There are no stars. There is no ace.
Yeah.
And we are continuing with this very traditional, you know, the classic New Japan glacial build of new guys. And that's fine when you had the massive stars to keep that ceiling high and keep the product up, keep the fans coming in. But we don't have that luxury anymore. And I really do think it's the wrong move to stick to this conservative booking while the fan base slowly melts away. Yeah. And I asked last time, where's the excitement? And think about the message, like intentionally or not, I think this is sending a clear message where we had our top tier of stars, guys like Okada, Naito, Prime Tanahashi, Kenny Omega, and then it was supplemented by the next wave of guys like Ibushi and Jay White, Will Ospreay. Now they're all gone. without putting anyone over in any useful or meaningful way. And now we've got the perennial mid-carders who couldn't surpass those top guys I just mentioned when they're all there together. You know, it's like Sanada and Zach and Gotto, people who've held the world title in recent years. So those mid-carders, they're now at the top of the company. Now, they couldn't beat any of the top guys when the top guys were there, but now they're the top guys because the actual stars have left.
Yep.
So that tier of people who are now at the top of the company, they already feel less than. And now your next generation of, you know, your Tsuji's and Umino's and Gabe Kidd's and Oivis and all that can't beat those guys.
Right.
So it, to me, it's sending a really clear message to the fans that these are not stars. Nobody's getting booked like a star. So who is there to get excited about? And I've talked at length about Yota Tsuji. He's the guy who's had the biggest push out of the lot of them. But he's 31. And you think about what guys like Okada had achieved by that time in their career. And I'm just using him as an example. And I think we've missed the window of opportunity where crowning Tsuji would have made him feel like the guy. Maybe his comeback match at Dominion 2023 against Sanada. Imagine what a shock that would have been if he'd beaten Sanada. Or even the year after that, after he wins the New Japan Cup, faces Naito at Sakura Genesis. Imagine if he'd beaten Naito, like dethroned the champion, the leader of his own stable. Or even beating Zach in the G1 final last year. That would have been a massive shock. And to me, those were three chances to do something exciting, and they've missed them all. And now we're at a point with him, and again, I'm just using him as a canary down the mine. It feels like the moment when Tsuji finally does win the big one, and he will win it, right? That's going to happen. But it feels like now that when he does win it, we'll all be thinking, yeah, that seems about right. You know, he's waited long enough. It's his turn now.
Right.
Instead of thinking, holy shit, this guy just beat XYZ. What a fucking stud. Company are pushing this guy to the moon, and it rocks. And we can't keep waiting for guys to become their fully formed final version with no flaws before we pull the trigger on them. And like the standards by which they're judged seem way too high, in my opinion. And I really think it's this simple. If you book them like stars, they'll feel like stars. They will be received as stars. And at least just give it a fucking go instead of waiting for the conveyor belt of seniority to shuffle along and all the other mid-carders to get their turn. Let's shake things up a bit. And people keep saying, oh, well, you know, we can't do another Rainmaker Shock. Why fucking not? Why can't we do a Rainmaker Shock? Some of these guys on the current roster holding their dicks in their hands are a lot better than Okada was in 2012. He had plenty of flaws in his game then. He was still pretty raw. And that was when the company grew a pair. They did something shocking and exciting, and look what happened as a result. Like, maybe if you treat these guys like stars, they will start to carry themselves like stars. It's not going to happen by itself. And I feel like I've mean myself into oblivion repeatedly sitting here on this podcast with you predicting each returning young lion as, oh, this is going to be the guy that gets the rocket push. Right. And they've re-debuted them all like shit. Limp, flaccid comebacks in nothing tag matches where they're essentially reestablished as the de facto young boys of their factions. And who's, like, let's look at some examples. Who's Yuya Uemura beaten this year since his big comeback?
I can tell you who he's lost. Sanada.
He's beaten Sanada and Yoshihashi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about Ryohei Oiwa, who's eaten a pin to Tanahashi in the show. Now, he felt like a massive star in Noah because guess what? He was booked like a star. And we're all talking about him. He seemed like a nailed-on future, if not immediate ace. And who's he beaten since his return to New Japan? Kenta, Yoshihashi, and Chase Owens.
Yeah.
Say that again. Kenta, Yoshihashi, and Chase Owens. O Icarus, fly not too close to the sun, lest thy waxy wings should melt. And you know, lest we forget, Yuya and Oi were both getting pinned by old man Tanahashi over the last few days. Even beyond them, like over the last year, New Japan heavyweights that Gabe Kidd's beaten prior to his match at Dominion. Oiwa, Red Narita. Which New Japan regulars has Oleg Bolton beaten over the past year? And I'm not including Takeshita. You might choose that as sort of cherry picking, but I don't count him as a New Japan regular. He's beaten Fat Fuck Fale and Yuji Nagata.
Yeah.
Do we start to see the problem here? These guys are not beating anybody. How about they win some fucking matches? How about they pin some of these mid-carders who didn't move the needle when the stars were around, and they're not moving the needle now? It's no wonder none of these guys feel like stars and nobody thinks they're ready, because it's perception is reality here. And also, we're fighting against this deeply ingrained culture of deference to your seniors and raising this generation of nice, handsome young lads who know their place. They're not going to rock the boat. They're not going to get too big for their boots. And I know, Damon, I'm shouting into the void here. I know New Japan has, you know, for the most part, always been like this, and it takes them ages before they pull their finger out and actually push guys. And I'm sure they're terrified of upsetting anyone else in case they take their ball and leave, as plenty of people have done in recent years. And honestly, part of me wonders if they're just stalling until the Aaron Wolf gamble hopefully pays off. But I said before, they're going to need some stars for Aaron Wolf to feud with. Otherwise, we're just kicking the same can down the road. And look, here we are now. You can have your Zach double title reign. You can have your Goto miracle feel-good run. Very nice in isolation, not knocking those. But what is that doing for the next generation? And look at the ticket sales. It's not doing much at the box office either.
And well, they'll tell you different with every other fucking metric under the sun that feels completely not important. Right. I mean, that's what we're judging town by.
Yep. I feel we're in trouble here. Big trouble. The stars have gone. They've walked away. The crowds trickling away year after year. Those numbers are ticking downwards. There are no stars. There is no ace. And it is not going to get better if we keep doing IWGP pass the parcel with the mid-carders. Get us out of the mid-carder era. Be brave. Take some risks. Channel the spirit of 2012. Get behind your youth like you promised you would. Push them properly. Have them beat some people. Piss people off.
Yeah.
Step on their toes. A lot of these guys are looking a bit too comfortable for my liking. Let's shake things up a bit. Let's create some excitement. Stop playing it safe, because it's not working and it's not sustainable. And if they don't get a move on, then all those guys that we should be excited about, that we have been excited about, you know, 6 months ago, 12 months ago, are just going to feel like the next batch of mid-carders as the crowds continue to slide down the shitter. I don't know if I'm sort of being a doomer here, Damon, but
no.
You know, whilst I would like to enjoy and say, oh, Zach's really good, Goto's really good, great match, Zach's got the title back, but I'm worried about the big picture here.
But how long have we been banging that drum? Like this is not a new revelation here. This is not a something that, like, we just stumbled across and, hey, here's, we've been saying this for I mean, a long time, post-pandemic, even during the pandemic, we were like, well, give it a shot. What the fuck? And again, there has been a lot of change within this promotion during that time. The hardest thing to do, and I've said it a million times, is to get the perception of a guy who once was a, you know, maybe a loser, maybe a mid-carder, maybe even an upper mid-carder, and having them take that next level in the fans' eyes. But if the promotion doesn't do anything to help that, then it makes it incredibly difficult to do. You look back in the history of pro wrestling and think about all the times that people rave and will point to and say, these are the moments in pro wrestling that, you know, you should, it's a blueprint for greatness. And a lot of times, especially when we talk about Japanese pro wrestling, there is the young, fiery upstart that shakes things up and says fuck you to an older generation who still think that they still have stuff in the tank, right? So that push and pull of these are the stars of a few years ago and even somewhat now, and they're going against guys who are fighting for that position and fighting for those spots. And in many cases, making a name for themselves and becoming the face of an organization. And again, we can look at All Japan if we want to. We can look at, hell, we could even point at Okada himself, right? You think there weren't people in the back that were like, what? What are we doing? What the fuck? All of it. AJ too. AJ Styles involved in that. Like, it took guts and it with a chance of it not working. And I feel like the safe, look, I don't know if they're comfortable with any of the people they have, but like, it's pro wrestling. We've said it 1,000 times. Just take that chance. Now, you might argue, hey, well, they did that already. And the guy was booed out of the fucking Tokyo Dome. Okay, fair enough. I agree with that. You have 5 guys to choose from. And I don't mean that in a faction sense. You have, and it's not like we're hot-shotting anybody. We've had plenty of time. It's pro wrestling, and it feels like there is an intentional thought process of slow burn. If there even is a burn, to be quite honest with you. It feels like they don't trust the people that they have to take the next level. Or there's pro wrestling politics involved where people don't want to necessarily lose their spot. So that is, you know, a fucking hurricane of just average pro wrestling when you have that scenario. That's one of the main reasons why I would love to see the booking committee cleaned house. Just to have a new voice, just to have a new thought process, just to add a little excitement and a little bit of, ooh, here we go. We can hitch our wagon to a person. That's all people want. And they don't really have that. Look at Goto. I mean, people were just salivating over the idea of Hirooki Goto not only becoming world champion, but looking great while doing it. That's all they wanted, though. Every person who got excited for Hirooki Goto got excited by the idea of, I can hitch my wagon to this fucking guy. And you know, there is that, oh, he finally did it. Oh, he finally crossed the finish line. Okay, well, I mean, we can do that too with these younger guys. It's incredibly frustrating.
Use that and then transition that to something for the young guys. That's why I find it so deflating that it went straight back to Zach, because they built this lovely Goto story and set up a really nice potential story for him as the old guard, you know, the last bastion of chaos, fighting tooth and nail to stop the next generation from eating his lunch. And then they just went back to Zach, and I was like, oh, what a missed opportunity there.
I think so too. Now, with Zach, here's what you're getting. You're getting a guy who will have a great match, will have no problem putting over someone, at the very least, he does have an air of a top guy. So there's that. So, and I hate to say it, but there is the idea of, oh, here's this mouthy British guy, and we're going to get the homegrown talent to put him in his fucking place. Now, they have to do a little bit more, because right now he's, you know, the punk rock anti-hero guy, you know, who's, you know, he's got a snappy comeback and a witty retort and a fucking, you know, post, you know what I'm going to say, post-punk band reference on his t-shirt. Cool. I love it. That's right up my fucking alley. You're hitting my sweet spot. But he's got to become a fucking insufferable, dirty, sandpapery heel, right? Because there's a lot to love there with Zach. And if you really want someone to fucking be the guy to knock him off his perch, then you got to go all in here. It's, again, the TV thing. Fine, whatever. I'll get my videotape in about 6 months from Jeff Lynch. We'll be able to watch it. is it the show on World now? Or is it even?
I don't think it is yet. Okay. I'm sure it will be. I believe it will be at some point, but it's okay. Not yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
Also, talking about England and British singers is reminding me as well. There's a Forbidden Door in the UK coming up soon.
Yeah.
And I've heard some people saying, oh, is this AEW told them to put the title on Zach because of Forbidden Door? I don't believe that at all. Like, New Japan's got to take responsibility for their own booking of their heavyweight title. And maybe there was an element to it of you know, trying to keep Zach happy, where they're like, yeah, put the title on you, then you can be the, you know, the defending champion in front of your home fans again at Forbidden Door. But
it didn't work the first time.
How much do you think Forbidden Door influenced the book?
I'm hoping zero. I really am. I'm hoping zero. I hope it's just scheduling coincidence. I really do. Because if there was any pull or any, hey, you know, you could elbow in the ribs, give them the title, I would be really disappointed in New Japan. I really would. Now, again, stranger things have fucking happened, as we all know and seen. I want to sit here and tell you that I can't believe that would be something that would influence New Japan Pro Wrestling's booking for their world title. Again, if you want to do that for the NEVER title, I don't think anybody's going to lose much sleep. It's not going to make a fucking bit of difference, but okay, let's just say you want to do that for the TV title, same thing, right? But your world title, if anybody has influence over that, over a IWGP title match that'll probably be, you know, somewhere maybe like the first match after intermission, you know, I'm not, you know, come on, what are we doing? That would really disappoint me. That would close to infuriate me. But I mean, look, what are we going to do, man? We're in hindsight, Joel, it doesn't make much sense. Even though, and here's another thing too, this company, it feels like there are times, and I think a lot of times, they're so fucking afraid to pivot. They just fucking stick their fingers in their ears.
Yes.
And if this was the plan, they're just la 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 all the way through, and they're just doing it. And again, some of the greatest moments in pro wrestling was, hey, you know what? I hear the crowd. I see what's happening. I know that we need a change, and here we go. So that's also disappointing, is that they have a plan and there's nothing that can push them off the plan.
Yeah, because Zach's title reign, after it was over, felt really cold and uninspiring. So then to go back to him, it's just like, oh, man. And it does now make the next move, like who the person who is going to beat Zach for that title, absolutely critical. Because if it's another lateral move to another mid-carder, then I'm done. All right? I'm not going to be excusing or defending anything. Like, that would be horrendous. And I don't think they would do it. I'm holding on to this one shred of hope that there is some sort of long-term vision to build Zach up so he can put over one of those. And I say new guys, they're not new anymore.
They're not new.
They're not new anymore. They don't feel new, no. But put over one of them, someone different, someone from that next generation in an exciting and dramatic and meaningful moment, even though I think we're well past the point where it would have been genuinely dramatic and exciting. But Zwiper says, does the title change make this year's G1 seem even more important than usual? Goto offered stability to the main event scene. Now everything is in flux again. New Japan need a clear and resounding path forward to the Tokyo Dome. New Japan needs Chase Owens. So Chase Owens for the G1. But yeah, I agree with the first part that it makes this G1 absolutely critical. And there is no argument, it must be one of those new guys. There is no excuse for letting anybody else win that G1. And honestly, I don't even think we should have Zach or Goto or anyone on that level in the Wrestle Kingdom main event, because Zach had his chance in the Wrestle Kingdom main event, and honestly, I don't want to say he blew it, but wasn't great, was it?
No, right.
Get started on your painting project this summer and save big money at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from 5 unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial, so you can get a professional, corrosion-resistant finish on every project. Save big money on Rust-Oleum Spray Paint now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Again, that was a weird one. Here's the, yes, I agree. This G1 does feel, there's a lot on the line, but it's people like me and you and listener in the car and listener on their AirPods and people that are listening on the YouTube stream. Like, it's important to them because there is a general sense of something needs to be done. Somebody needs to push the button. And I don't think that necessarily resonates with your, quote, average fan. They might not see, hear, or even give a flying fuck about any of the stuff that we're sweating over because they just want to watch a pro wrestling match. That said, we've been watching and following and analyzing and probing and all of this for many years now. And we know the importance of what is happening. And if they did do a lateral move, look, there are a lot of nails in a coffin. If they went lateral, that is a nail in a coffin. It's not maybe the final nail, trust me, but that is a big nail in a coffin where it is going to take quite a exciting, stunning, unbelievable pro wrestling angle, storyline, whatever you want to call it, to get this company back on track and back in the place that we know it can be. Like, if they do a lateral move with Zach to someone else, that is going to be a lot of, you're going to hear groans from one side of this fucking globe to the other. Just, what are we doing? And I understand that you think sometimes you're an international company, and you're really not. You know where your bread is butter. And I have zero problem with that. Trust me, I don't. I think when you start to lose the home team fan base, you're going to have some problems. And they have to be blind not to see some of the cracks in the armor. They really do.
Can you think of any potential exciting Wrestle Kingdom main events involving Zach?
Well, the good news is that we have 6 months. Right now, to answer your question, I do not. I really don't. Like, who would be the guy to challenge? Now, if New Japan does kind of what we laid out and said, made him not, you know, Mr. fucking wacky one-liner, if they made him, I don't want to say serious, because that's, like, they need to make him ruthless, and they need to make him aggressive, and they need to make people not, they need to make people want him to lose.
Yeah, he should be dangerous and scary and, yeah, you know, putting people on the shelf. They should be milking this Goto injury for all it's worth, whether it's planned, real, legit, whatever it is. It should have been like, I broke that motherfucker's arm, and, you know, that I broke Wahoo's leg t-shirt or whatever it was. They've got the reference wrong, but let's tap into a bit of that. Let's make him seem like a dangerous guy who will break your fucking leg if you don't tap out in time, or if you know, make a mistake, he's gonna pop your shoulder out of its socket. That should be scary.
Both kids broken legs. That's what I want to say. That'll do it, right? That'll win.
Yeah, definitely. So K-Loves Wrestling says, with no obvious dome main event in sight or even a short list of matches that would do numbers on name alone, do you think this title change was a break glass in case of emergency to give Gotto a mountain to climb and build to another new beginning-like moment at the Dome. My. In the glory days, the unpredictable... I know, right? The unpredictable feel was fun as the top 3 to 4 matches were match of the year contenders. In recent years, there was a clear story, e.g. Okada and Naito winning the titles back, crowning moment for Zack. But now it feels like there's no clear direction or plan beside House of Torture. And Matt says, with Zack on the belt, are we setting up Shota to get his win back at Wrestle Kingdom? So going cycling back to the first one, right? If the story is Gotto climbing the mountain again to win back the title, no thank you, right? I've enjoyed the Gotto run. It had value. We all loved it. It done, please. I don't want another Gotto redemption, right? We had that. That was the first time. If we're going back to, if it's Gotto challenging Zack again and winning the title of Zack, that is exactly what we're talking about. And it is... emergency, like yes, absolutely. Shota getting his win back at Wrestle Kingdom, I don't even know if there's an appetite for that. And I put a tweet out, so I said Wrestle Kingdom 20 should have a lot of new eyeballs due to the Aaron Wolf debut, Tanahashi retirement, and broadcast arrangements. What main event do you think New Japan should go with, assuming that Tanahashi retirement is not the main, to maximize the exposure for long-term gains? And a lot of people, like 29 comments, but I scroll through all of those, nothing exciting there, nothing that I thought, wow, yeah, that's the play, I'm into that. So there's Zack versus Tsuji versus Uemura, Shota versus Zack, Tsuji versus Zack. It all just seems very uninspiring. And whilst I could see the logic in like, oh, let's have it on a more experienced wrestler like Zack to help guide a young wrestler through a main event, that didn't work at last year's Wrestle Kingdom. So for me, I think the strategy has to just be two of the young guys, because you're playing with house money at this point. You're going to have a load of extra people watching because it's on free TV or whatever it is. Aaron Wolf, Tanahashi's retiring, lots of new people watching. It has to be a strong, clear, unequivocal mission statement of this is the future. This is New Japan Pro Wrestling. These young domestic Japanese heavyweights are leading us into the future. And I was sort of thinking about what it could be. And looking at the structure of the Wrestle Kingdom that's passed, Wrestle Kingdom 19, where we had Tsuji winning the semi-main event against David Finlay and then Shota Umino losing in the main event, I'm wondering, and those two have not wrestled each other since the G1 in 2023. So I'm wondering, are they being kept apart for a reason? And sometimes we sort of read too much into this. Sometimes I remember we were sort of doing this with Ospreay and Naito. Oh, they've not wrestled each other and they've kept away from each other. They're saving it for wrestling the main event. No, they weren't, right? They're like, matches are protected until they're not protected. But I am thinking of the positioning of Wrestle Kingdom 19 and the fact that they've not wrestled each other for coming up to 2 years, whether they might not be looking at Yota Tsuji versus Shota Umino for the main event at Wrestle Kingdom. And people might balk at that and think, oh, you know, Shota shit the bed and Tsuji's not ready, blah, blah, blah. I would be in favor of that just for the fact that it would be something different and it would be relatively bold and they would be given a chance and showing some faith to their domestic heavyweights. And I would say that's the play right now for me. And it might be controversial, but that's what I'd do. I don't know how you'd get there. Maybe Shota pins Zack during the G1 and then challenges him for the belt, wins the belt off of him. Tsuji wins the G1, whatever. But Tsuji versus Shota, Wrestle Kingdom main event, I think that might be where we're heading.
Yeah. I mean, I can see it. I don't know if that is a money-making...
I don't know if it's good.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm in the camp
it doesn't
of
have a mid-carder, so that's why I like it.
I'm in the camp of, look, you have G1. And if you have a platform to really make someone special. I'm not saying they have to win every match. Maybe they can. I'm not saying that this person is a, you know, he's in it obviously and has a chance to win it in a semifinal and beats a veteran that no one thinks he should have. You could go that route. But I think you need to leave G1 with the person that you want in Wrestle Kingdom. And then after G1, and again, this has to be a showcase, spotlight, here's our guy. Any way you want to do it. He can't slip on a banana peel and get in on points and, you know, tiebreaker fucking trigonometry.
Don't fuck it up like they did with Fujita in the Best of the Super Juniors.
Right. Right. None of that. None of that. Either he's strong or he's not. And
run the fucking table 9-0 in the block and then win all the matches, win lots of wrestling matches, beat other wrestlers. Right. Let's that's go crazy.
I know it's nutty. I know. But yeah, that is what has to happen. And then you have to have build for this. And that is where, let's be honest, New Japan has not been great at building their main events. And for a myriad of reasons, we've had like just harebrained Kenny going into business for himself moments. We've had guys going into it feeling dead and feeling just like a wet sponge. We've had people that, you know, you didn't really think should be in that main event.
Jay Wyatt calling Okada a coward for 6 months.
Yeah.
Sanada refusing to cut any promos on Naito in case Naito owned him.
Right.
We've been through some shit with these build-ups.
Haven't we? So again, they're not great at it, but that has to change. So again, I hate saying it over and over again, but I do love saying things over and over again. It's pro wrestling. You can do it. Like, just sit down in a fucking room, Kikuchi, Ghetto, Yano, whomever. If you want Dick Togo in there too? Fine. What? No, you know what? Leave him. Keep him home. Don't tell him about the meeting. Just keep him out of the group chat because it'll be evil. Get creative. Get creative. And here's the thing. If we go into Wrestle Kingdom and it's January, 1st, the new year hits and we're all sitting here like, is anybody looking forward to this show coming up? If we're at that point, we have to clean house booking. We have to. Because again, the future of this fucking company depends on it. And we can't sit here and, well, they did it 10 years ago. Oh, well, they did it, 8 years ago. It was the loyalty that you would think is a good thing can also be a bad thing. So again, this would, if I'm running New Japan Pro Wrestling, which if I did, it would be running to the fucking ground, that's for sure, in about 6 months. But okay, let's just pretend. That would be my directive. Put up or shut up. Give me something. You got 6 months. You got a G1. Get me a great champion that people want to see lose and get me my next star. Book it. And that would be it.
All right, let's fly through the rest of this card then. So we had a 6-man tag team match where United Empire team, Callum Newman, Great O'Connor, and Jacob Austin Young were defeated by a kind of LIJ team of Yota Tsuji, Shingo Takagi, and X, which turned out to be Shun Skywalker from Dragon Gate. And a lot of speculation about that. He's got a Loser Leaves Company match coming up. I think it's Loser Leaves Company, where he said that if he loses, he's going to leave the company against Yamato, I think it is. I've not seen a great deal of Shun Skywalker. I don't know what the gimmick is. It is like sort of C-3PO in a gimp outfit. I don't know what it's supposed to be. Yeah. I wasn't particularly impressed. I mean, I'm sure there are better matches that I could be pointed to, but I'm not exactly like pounding the door down saying, oh, we got to sign Shun Skywalker. But yeah, do you think he is going to be, he's New Japan bound, or do you think they're just sort of doing a bit of inter-promotional promotion?
I mean, he could be. I don't think anybody, I saw him live, if I'm not mistaken, at the Hitchcock show when Mania was in Philly. I mean, he's good. I don't think anybody's going to complain if he did come to New Japan and stay.
Dragon Gate fans will.
Good point, right? I don't know if he's a needle mover. Let's put it that way. Like that's not your answer. He's not main eventing Wrestle Kingdom. But you know, somebody different, a new face and a new feeling. Speaking of new and all, like watching this match, I was really a little bit shocked at the idea of these two factions still being factions. You know, there's like just threads holding them together. Yeah, it is what it is, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, with everything that's there and the fact that, you know, he does have that loser leave promotion stip hanging over his head, I'm going to be surprised. I'm going to be surprised if he makes the move.
We had a New Japan World Television title match where El Fantasmo did the open challenge and defeated Taiji Ishimori 11 minutes, 32 seconds. I heard a lot of negative response after this one. I actually quite liked it. I thought it was good. I liked particularly the knee work later on in the match, where obviously El Fantasmo has missed a few shows due to a knee injury, and I thought the selling there was really good. And again, I like it when wrestlers sell it like they're not able to do basic things, like, you know, not able to jump up onto the rope or run or walk or do things like that. So there are a few moments where that played into it in a way that I found quite compelling. And I don't know, I dare say that if that is going to be the running theme of El Fantasmo's G1 climax, if that's going to be something he's going to be leaning on as a narrative, but yeah, it was fine. It was okay. I liked it.
I thought it was fine. Yeah. What was the general consensus? What was the biggest downfall? I mean, it wasn't a junior heavyweight, you know, let's move around kind of match if people were expecting that. Like, what was the big thumbs down reason?
I don't know. I don't really. I think people just don't like ELP or Taiji Ishimori that much, to be honest.
Well, I tell you what, during this match, again, my mind does wander, but I was thinking of, like, how would I rate this ELP New Japan run? Like, I got to be honest with you, I was expecting a lot more. A lot more.
Yeah.
It has really been some flat ass shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just been there. And again, injuries and the guy, you know, he's battling a fucking deadly disease. Okay, let's give him a break, Damon. But
he's
overall
gonna have to work hard in G1 to win over.
Yeah, that ain't happened. That ain't happened. He'll have a good match. Like, there'll be a match where it's like him against whomever, and you're like, oh, that was fucking great. But that's what I expect from ELP at this point. You know what I mean? Like, I don't expect, mm-hmm, you know, six or seven just fucking bangers. I expect one night he's going to fucking shine and be like, ah, that was fucking great. And the rest of his year is going to be, okay. All right. You know, I got to be honest. The way that he was talked to me about certain people talked to me about him in this company, you would have thought he was the fucking next coming of you know, Kenny Omega and AJ Styles and all that.
Boy, that just, yeah, people say stuff like, but like, is he paying you money to say these things? Is he in the room with you? Is he looking over your shoulder?
Maybe. Because, you know, and it's not just, you know, one person. There are a couple people. And it's just like, ooh, all right. I mean, I'll get on board with it if that's where they're going. He seems like he's, you know, again, he can have great matches. You know, he can have it. It's just, you know, one thing after another that's been like, okay. So, yeah, he would have to have a really spectacular G1. And I just don't know if he has that.
There was an 8-man tag involving House of Torture. Don't want to talk about that. Never openweight title match. Oleg Bolton defeating Yuji Nagata. 9 minutes, 14 seconds. It's pretty good. I mean, as far as it goes with Yuji Nagata being his advanced years, I thought it was quite dynamic and no danger of Bolton losing, but it was, yeah, a lot more kinesthetic than I thought it was going to be. But it would be nice to see Oleg Bolton beating other wrestlers. I know, yeah, he's beating Takeshita, you know, that's good. Like, really nice series with Takeshita, and that's certainly done him a lot of good. But
you know, he's one guy that we seem to kind of gloss over. Do you think that there's any chance that he could be a guy?
I think it depends on how the Aaron Wolf thing goes. Because if that works, then that is a built-in storyline with him, with Wolf and Bolton, and is it Shion Obata, the other massive dude who's on the New Japan Wrestling team right now.
That's a faction right there. Next. That's a faction.
Or three musketeers.
Yeah, let's fucking go with that. And kick everyone's fucking head in. Let's go. I'd be down for that kind of shit. Let's go.
What else we have there? Another House of Torture 8-man tag match, which I'm only going to bring up because it ended with Chase Owens doing the package pile driver on Yoshihashi and pinning him, which excited me because I thought, oh, if he's done that, then maybe it means that Yoshihashi's getting his win back in the G1 qualifier. So that breathed new life into me. And I'm so invested in that G1 qualifier. I think I might live stream. I'll do like live watch along just to that match. Not the whole show, just that Chase Owens versus Yoshihashi match. If I can. Like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing that day. And if I can't do it live, I will do I'll avoid spoilers. And when I go and watch it, I will... Maybe I'll stream it, or I'll just record my live response to it, because that really is the battle for New Japan style. But we'll come on to previews for that later. But I thought that was just worth mentioning. Like, maybe it's not all gone completely to shit.
Well, what worries me is that Fale is hurt, right? So
he's not hurt. He returned to New Zealand because I think family. He had there was a bereavement. Yeah,
right. Okay. So that said, he's not in G1. I'll tell you what, I would love to put some type of stakes on it because Chase Owens is winning this motherfucker. we got to find some way to wager, something to do, some kind of wacky podcast stunt, like morning radio. Woohoo! We got to find something because I am firmly in the camp of Chase Owens in 2025. Let's go. He's winning. He's in.
And we open things up with Hiroshi Tanahashi 6-man tag match, where Taguchi, Shota, and Tanahashi defeated Leona, Hiromu Takahashi, and Tatsumi Fujinami. So that was the first of Tanahashi's two victories that evening for the Tanahashi Jam show. So a little bit of self-indulgence from the man. But all in all, I would say, despite our grumbles of it not being accessible to us whiteys, pretty fun show.
It was. And it felt, dare I say, like an important show. Like it had a, I think the crowd was decent. I thought the crowd was solid, especially for the main event or the title match and even the main event. It did feel good. Again, for all the gripes about, hey, we'll fucking sit through, we'll have every fucking World Tag League available to us, but this show, the world title on the line, and it changes, we have to fucking go about the internet travels, the high seas, to find it. It was a good show. I would say, if you have the means to find it, watch it. It's a good show. It truly is a good show. I can't imagine it not being on New Japan World relatively soon, I would think. But look, you guys are smart. You know where to find shit. Just fucking watch it, because it's worth your time. It was, and here's the thing too. It was a quick show, wasn't it? It didn't feel like it was a 4-hour marathon fucking slog fest. Like it felt like it was snappy and quick and definitely a solid watch.
Yeah, once you skip the two House of Torture matches, then it's quicker. We've got two shows coming up this weekend. So Friday, we have New Japan Soul at the Tokyo Budokan. And from what I'm hearing, the ticket sales are not doing well at all. Like, this is
because they're apparently all going to Oasis. They're all going to Oasis in Cardiff. Everyone's
it's,
there.
It's verging on disastrous. So counter programming from Liam and Noel Gallagher there. But so we've got a kickoff match, Tatsuya Matsumoto against Zane J, and another kickoff match, Masatori Yasuda and Shoma Kata against Daiki Nagai, Katsuya Morishima. First match, Tiger Mask, Yuji Nagata, Taichi, Ishii, and Umino. excuse me, against a House of Torture team. Dick Togo, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Doki, Sanada, and Evil. I will not be watching that one. Then we've got a second match, Hiromu, Tsuji, and Shingo, the unaffiliated people teaming again, yes, for some reason, against Jacob Austin, Young, Callum Newman, Great O'Khan. Third match, Oleg Bolton, Yuya Uemura, El Desperado against Hartley Jackson, Zack Sabre Jr., and Kosei Fujita. Getting into the business end of the card, we have a G1 Climax A-block play match, Satoshi Kojima against Yohei Oiwa. And, I mean, obviously Oiwa is going to win.
What?
Can I say I'm slightly disappointed not getting to see Oiwa against Fat Fuck Fale, because I was quite looking forward to seeing Fale have to take some bumps, presumably for Oiwa, maybe Oiwa lifting up, but probably bell-to-bell Oiwa Kojima is going to be a better match, but yeah, I would say nailed on 100% Oiwa's winning that.
All right. I mean, it is the summertime. He does love the U.S., so I'm sure he'll find up on some MLW show or something. So, yeah. Okay.
And then we've got the B-block player match, Yoshihashi versus Chase Owens. So you're nailing your colors to the wall. You are ride or die with the Lone Star Outlaw, Chase Owens. But I'm going to hold on to just a little shred of hope that it's going to be Yoshihashi, because like I said, this is the soul of New Japan at stake here. It's about way more than a spot in the B block. If Yoshihashi wins, then we know New Japan is saved. And if it's Chase Owens, then that 9 G1 Climax matches that I won't be watching.
Chase is bringing over 2 plates of lasagna and he's getting the win. favors paying off. Let's go.
Lovely tobacco. Then we got the NEVER Openweight 6-Man Tag Team Championship match, where Master Wato, Yo, and Toriano are challenging Sho, Yujiro, and Ren. I think they're the champions. Anyway, I don't really know or care. This is going to be terrible. I've absolutely zero expectations. I don't even want to predict a winner because I don't care, quite frankly.
I mean, I'm in the same boat, but I'll just say titles stay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And then the main event is the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship match. Gabe Kidd defending his newly won title against the challenger, Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Here we go.
Andrew says, why is Chris Charles censoring Gabe Kidd, saying that Tama Tonga and Jay White ruined the NEVER title? So apparently there's an interview he did, and yeah, he said something like how when Tama Tonga and Jay White had it, it sort of undermines the ethos of it being, you know, the strong style fighting spirit, guys hitting each other really hard belt. But in the English translation, that bit got removed. So, you know, you don't want to upset our friends over in the States. So yeah, that was taken out. It was an interesting choice. You know, we've talked ad nauseum about the Gabe Kidd thing. I've said before, I don't think the character works when he's doing AEW key jangling, because I can't suspend my disbelief and I cannot let myself enjoy that story because it doesn't make any sense. And in this interview, question, absolutely fair question for Gabe Kidd. To go back to the Dominion match, you had the Death Riders logo on your knee pads, along with War Dogs, along with New Japan. What's your place within the Death Riders? What's New Japan's relation to it? All right, so giving Gabe Kidd the opportunity to set the record straight and put us all in the clear and explain it all so he can say, oh, okay, it does make sense and I'm not upset by it anymore. And we can enjoy Gabe Kidd, the New Japan wrestler, even though he's doing this stuff, because he's going to explain it all now and help us to figure it out. Gabe says, listen, I said it all before the Tsuji match. I explained it all. It's not about the critic's opinion. It's about the man in the arena whose face is marred with blood, sweat, and dust. I don't need to go into why I'm doing that. It doesn't need to make sense to these people. It makes sense to me. I know the mission I'm on. I know what I'm working for. I know what I'm working towards. And that's all that matters right now. So buckle up, enjoy the ride. Stop worrying about the things that don't concern you. So, like, absolute WWE brained thinking, like, oh, don't think about the stories too hard because you'll get a headache. Just shut up and enjoy the wrestling. So at least we know where we stand with that now.
Wow. All right. Basically, don't get invested in me. That's basically what he's saying.
Fuck you for caring about me and the story.
Yeah, I'm a mad lad. But okay. All right. We got it. Oh, man. I tell you. Whew. what I wouldn't do to just rewind the clock and fucking the second week of January. Oh, Lordy Lou. But, well, here we are. Don't care about me. Don't care about what I do. Okay. All right. Basically, what that was we don't really have an answer right now for why the fuck this is happening. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, maybe I'll get that big check. So who knows? God bless him. God bless him. All right. That's how you win a fan base over.
You excited for the match?
Would it be crazy if I told you that I think Hiroshi Tanahashi wins this match?
Oh, dear me. Wow. Factory Direct Marine and RV asked the same question. Is there any value in giving Tanahashi the global or any other belt at this point? Would a short run with a belt ended by dropping it to someone young be a way to tap into the last bit of cachet he has left before the retirement match? You know what? Yes, I think it would be extremely funny if he beats Gabe Kidd here. So I'm all for it. Yes.
I mean, Gabe Kidd would be lumped into those youngsters, right? Wouldn't that be the case? But yeah, he could lose it to someone else, maybe younger. I don't know. I have no info, no intel, no nothing. Something seems fucking fishy to me. It just feels fishy. I just got a strange pro wrestling spidey sense tingling. And I could be dead wrong, but it's the main event. I really do think we're going to see a title change. I hope I'm wrong. I'll tell you what, if he wins,
I hope you're right.
yeah, you hope I'm right. Okay, all right, then let's do it. Give him the fucking title. Who cares? Honestly, at this point, like, look, my bandwidth of my Gabe Kidd fucking interest is waning quickly. We sit here and bitch and moan for fucking an hour and a half about pushing youngsters. I wouldn't care. At this point, Hiroshi Tanahashi could do everything.
Tanahashi, go ace, go ace.
Guys, I want to see a fucking air guitar. I want it all. I want it all. I want all the hugs. I want all the crocodile tears. I want it all. Want it all. He wins G1. I want it all. I want it all. Because guess what? If we're not going the other way, I want to go head first into the fucking last ride. But in all seriousness, I've had this feeling for a couple days, actually, of every time I would kind of stumble across the lineup for this show and this match, I'm like, he's fucking going to win this fucking title, isn't he? We'll see. We'll see, man. We'll see.
And then Sunday, we've got a show at Corcoran Hall. So not announced the full card for that because I suppose a lot of that might depend on what happens on the Friday show. But we do have Tanahashi versus Tiger Mask. We have the IWGP Junior Tag Championship match where Doki and Sho are defending against Master Wato and Yo. Okay, I don't care. I'm not interested in this at all.
I it just makes me angry. And I'm one person who, you know, it took me a long time to get on that fucking Doki bandwagon. But I'm actively protesting his involvement in House of Torture. So yeah, I mean, it might be a great match. No, great. Let me pull back. It's good. I think it's going to be a good match. But yeah, fuck that.
I think it's going to suck.
Really, you think it's going to be shit?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be all right. What do you think? Do you think there might be some outside interference in this match? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, going to be clean as a whistle, just like proper Greco-Roman hold and counter hold.
Yep.
Nice sell those collar and elbow tie up. Yeah.
Sell those t-shirts, brothers. Sell those t-shirts. All right. What else we got?
We've got the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match where El Desperado is defending against some guy called Fujita?
Vagina?
I don't know. I've not heard of this guy. Kosei Fujita.
He won Best of the Super Juniors, Joel. You know, BOSJ.
No,
did he? I thought it was. No, it was Robbie X won that, didn't he? Or
no,
something about Junkasai gets Robbie X in the final or something. No, I must be misremembering it. Can't think why. Oh, there's something about Ziploc bags. I remember, and Chaos members. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Well, listen,
the winner of Best of Super Juniors was the Chaos friends we made along the way, I think.
Well, listen, it's finally happened. So, you know, they could take everybody can rest up, or at least one person can rest up and really make a solid challenge. So, I think we're going to have, all kidding aside, I think we're going to have a really good match here. I think we're going to have a great match here. Dare I say, tear down the house style stuff. Any chance we see a title change?
I would very much like that.
Yeah, me too.
Based on everything that I've said earlier today, let's put our money where our mouth is and properly get behind Kosei Fujita, because in spite of him winning Best of the Super Juniors, the booking of that tournament was so messy and convoluted that I think it actively hurt him. Plus all this stuff with the Death Pain invitation on the Junkasai thing taking precedence over Kosei Fujita challenging and him inexplicably dropping his desire to be the youngest champion. It made him look like a bit of a twat. So I hope he wins this. And I was talking with John Carroll about this. I would like to see Fujita try and show a bit of that grit and that sandpaper that you talk about. And a bit, yeah, because what is the Kosei Fujita character? He's the young punk, but how does that manifest itself in his wrestling and the way he carries himself in the ring? And again, I was just watching Ozawa from Noah and thinking, like, you know, he's like a young Naito, and that sort of cocky brashness and the arrogance and the swagger that he shows in ring. I would love Kosei Fujita to show some of that, because at the moment, guys like him and Oiwa, it's just like polite, handsome, young Japanese man trying their best and wrestling nicely matches. I want a bit spice in there. I don't know if it's just me, but if I had a next step for Fujita, which is a bit churlish to say, because I think he has been excellent and he's an incredibly talented wrestler and hopefully will be the future of this division. But I think he could add a few more layers to his game.
I'm just hoping they get the title off that dirty deathmatch wrestler. Yeah,
you know. The deathmatch tourist.
Yeah, let's get the deathmatch tourist. I love it. Let's get it on let's get our prestigious title on a real pro wrestler. That's what I gotta say. That's what I say. No, this will be really good. I think this will be really fun. And you're right. Like, he won the Showcase Junior Tournament. So let's go 100% behind him. Let's strap him up. And yeah, let's make him a guy. Let's make him a guy, at least of the juniors. You know, juniors really, I feel like they do a better job doing that with juniors. And maybe they just feel less pressure because, again, there is always that pecking order. But I feel like within the juniors, they don't struggle as much in making guys new guys. So, why not? Let's follow that pattern. Give him the title and let's see what he can do.
Pitch Imperfect Art says, who's your preferred striker for Arsenal to buy? So we've been sort of locked in this drawn out transfer saga between two strikers, a guy called Victor Gyokeres, who is older, more experienced, has got a better goal record, and a younger wrestler called Benjamin Sesko, who... Yeah, it does not have the goal record or the experience, but has got more potential.
Okay.
So I suppose I should sort of stick to my guns as I have with New Japan and say that we should go for the younger player. But I don't give a shit at this point. I just want us to get one of them because I'm just so sick of what has happened to football transfer discourse. I miss the days where you just turn on Sky Sports News one day and then out of nowhere you'd have... you know, Sol Campbell walking into a press conference and be like, holy shit, we've signed guys out of nowhere. Now you get just constant content and tweets every day. Arsenal are exploring opportunities, open negotiations. They are great admirers of, they are respectfully monitoring and surveying the situation. And you just get every tiny thing. And even when it is concrete and it is happening, like, oh, they're working through the parameters of the deal. They're working out the structure of the payments. Is it going to be all paid up front or is it going to be in installments? Oh, now they're working on the bonuses. Now they're negotiating the salary with the player. Oh, now it's the medical. Now now they're sending over. And just by the end of it, I'm like, just fucking hell, just you put me out of my misery. So by the time the player actually signs and you get to see them on Arsenal.com with a new shirt, you're just like, Jesus Christ, thank God that's over. It sucked all the joy out of the transfer window for me. So it's only the 2nd of July. I'm fucking sick of it already. But yeah, hopefully we get one of them in. I honestly have zero preference, like, because there's so many variables, so many unknowns. You know, you get all these videos analysis, and by doing a tactical analysis on the way that, you know, this player likes to drop deep and this player likes to make runs into the channel, then he's going to be a perfect fit for the way Arsenal play. And it never works out like that. There's too many unknowns. So I don't care. I just want to see one of them in an Arsenal shirt, please, sooner rather than later.
Welcome to US sports. You know what I mean? That's exactly what I mean. I just went through it yesterday. The NHL had their free agency openings, and we one of my favorite players, Mitch Marner, formerly of the Leafs, signed a big deal with for all intents and purposes, he's now playing for Vegas, the Vegas Golden Knights. But yeah, it's the day where it's like, okay, all these unrestricted free agents can sign, and it's a pretty somewhat exciting day. But yeah, we have that, and we have our trade deadline day. But yeah, it's all that analysis of, yeah, will this guy be a good fit with this line and this teammate? And he can carry the puck and blah, 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 time of possession, blah, 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 blah. And you get to the point where it's just like, you know what? Enough fantasy fucking hockey. I cannot wait to the season starts, for Christ's sake, just because of the over analysis. But it's like everybody, it's every sport now. So, you know, welcome. Welcome to the ESPN of sports. It stinks. And you know what? I would even say, I wish it were ESPN. ESPN is just a fucking joke at this point. They're just a bunch of people screaming at each other, talking loudly. It's terrible. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I do geek out over it. But yeah, a lot of times it's like, oh, God, enough already. Where will Mitch Marner go? Can the Leafs survive without him? Ugh, enough. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
And Andrew says, Joel, would you prefer to ride the train of torture where you relive the house's torture through 3D audio or ride a British train? Have you seen this train of torture thing?
No. What is this?
Okay. I'm going to send you this because I was sort of, it looks so horrendous that I didn't even want to click the translate to see what it is. So I'll send it to you now over WhatsApp and I'll describe what the image is for listeners. So this is a tweet from Oshitabi Update, and there's a picture of Hiromu Takahashi and Hiroshi Tanahashi dressed up as train drivers or train conductors. And then there's Evil in the corner and it says Rail to Pro Wrestling 2. And if I click translate post, New Japan Pro Wrestling and JR Central, Rail to Pro Wrestling 2. It finally starts today. Train of Torture lets you relive House of Torture's torment with spatial audio. Oh, so I don't know what the hell that is. It looks absolutely horrendous, but
God.
Would I rather watch that or go on an English train? Fuck me. Yeah, I was last on a train going to and from Newton Abbott to London to watch Arsenal lose to Paris Saint-Germain, and it was not a particularly pleasant experience. Although it is a nice journey. It is a lovely journey, actually, from London to Devon and back again. You get lovely views, rolling countryside, and it's always nice, the return journey, where I get to go back home to Devon because I like it here much more than I like London. And you'll get to enjoy that very, very soon, Damon.
I can't wait. It's going to be fun. Hopefully it won't be the Evil Express as this one is. So at the end of the day, what is this? I still don't really fully understand.
I have no idea what it is. Andrew, help me out, mate. Just explain to me what this is supposed to be, because I've clicked translate and I'm none the wiser. It's actually actively made me more confused than I was just looking at the pictures.
Yeah, if there is a link to JR Central, and there, if you click on that link, there's Tanahashi on a train, standing, looking very, and then Train of Torture. I don't know what it. Yeah, there's times Monday. I don't know.
Train of torture.
Okay, right. It's like, I'm translating it. When I wake up from a deep sleep, it's a house of torture torture vehicle. Relive the horror of one summer with spatial audio technology. Will you be able to endure until the end? Train of torture utilizes Klepsydra's Inc.'s spatial audio technology resense. This audio contains frightening content. It may make small children cry. This is audio content, so you will not be subjected to physical torture. This content will feel even more realistic if you close your eyes, so please enjoy it.
Like, people are just like, I just want to get home from work. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to go home. It was a long day at the office. I can't imagine. Watch it just be like sold out. Be like, see, House of Torture, God, man.
Someone who lives in Japan, go on this. I need you to go on it, and I'll get you on the Patreon to talk about it, because I'm fascinated now.
Yeah.
I need to know what this
is. I'll Venmo you money for if whatever it costs to get on this fucking nonsense, but we need a full in-depth, and we need video. We need you to record it. We need to see what the fuck this is all about. Please get a hold of Joel. Please contact Joel immediately.
All right. See you next week, everyone.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now, you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.